Right on the button, guys.
Right last here,
guys.
Stone for Kevin Martin. They want it on the button. The fans are on their feet. Kevin Martin goes out as a champion.
Okay, here we go. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. Kevin, I'm telling you why. Warren Hansen's got... Hi again, everybody. It's Jungle Jim Jerome coming at you with another... It's our Christmas show. It's the week of Christmas with another episode of Inside Curling with me, of course, and the greatest curler in the world, Kevin Martin, and the commissioner, the president, the governor, the ambassador of curling, biggest builder of the game ever, Warren Hansen. Boys, how are you? Kevin, you first. What's going on?
Hey, Jimmy. Oh, things are pretty good here in Edmonton. We're plus 4 or 5, a little bit of snow on the ground, but it's very nice to get out and walk around and enjoy the day. Might have to maybe do a little bit of Christmas shopping maybe later today.
I was going to ask you. Yeah. You know, plus 4 or 5 here in the middle of December is just like the weatherman, just, you know, messing with your head, you know, because we know the minus 25 is coming, you know. It's like, here's a little teaser for you. Never to last, you know, the weather. Good weather, though, always with Warren. What's Warren, what are you doing? You're out in BC still? You haven't left?
Well, there's no place to go, Jim. I'm still here, but it's about 4 or 5 degrees here today as well. But we're having a little surprise in the fact that some big, wet snowflakes coming down today. Not supposed to last long, but always as frightening here when you see snow coming and hitting
right.
the ground.
Before we get into the show, what are you guys doing with COVID? Kevin, you and I are in Alberta where they've done the lockdown. Ontario, the premier, he's doing a full lockdown here in a couple of days. How are you guys filling your time? What is your shop up and running, Kevin? First of all, your store?
No, that closed again about a week ago. And so, no, the store is shut down. The Saville Sports Center is shut down. And, of course, my store is inside of it. So the outside doors of the entire building are locked up, and so is my store. But the curling clubs aren't open, and they actually had singles tennis. My store is curling and tennis. They had tennis going for a long time, but it got shut down as well. So not much here, Jimmy. And it's, thank goodness for the nice weather so you can get outside and enjoy it, because if it was minus 25, those are long days at home.
Right. And you're stuck at home. I read a very funny thing. A guy said, you know, to his wife, he says, you know, as long as we're stuck at home and we have to isolate, honey, it sure is nice to do it with someone I'm really happy with. And his wife said, well, that must be nice. What about you, Warren? Are you full lockdown?
Actually, no. BC at the moment, anyway, is still fairly wide open. All the stores, the bars, restaurants, everything here mm-hmm. are open at this point, and I think they're supposed to stay like that till the 7th of January, unless something really strange happens. We can't gather in any kind of groups. That's been off the table for a long time. So most things in the way of recreation activities are shut down. But as far as the stores, the bars, the restaurants, everything is functional. So crossing my fingers that stays the way it is. And who knows?
You're the exception then with a bunch of people.
I think we are right now. Pretty much BC is a little different than pretty near everywhere else right. in Canada.
So on the show today, we've got a bunch of stuff we're going to get to. You know, over the past several podcasts, we've had lots and lots of discussion that usually ends up being centered around about the sport of curling and what needs to happen to improve the sport, to get the numbers back up, to get more young people involved, to get our national championships back to where they used to be a few years ago. And, you know, both Warren and Kevin have talked about that and have some ideas. Warren has been particularly outspoken about that. Warren, I see you're single-handedly, Warren, generating about 10 emails a second. Okay. About this stuff. So today, what we thought we wanted to do, and we're really pleased that we're going to bring on a young guy shortly. And Warren and Kevin both thought of this, that we better get a young guy on. And can we find someone who's young, who loves the game, who wants to move forward through the game, who's qualified to talk about the game? And we found that guy. His name's Tyler Powell. 2019 BC Junior Silver Medalist, 2019 BC U18 Gold Medalist, 2019 Canadian U18 Silver Medalist. All sorts of stuff that he's done. And we're going to talk to him about that and get his opinions on what needs to be done, that and much more. So before we bring Tyler, on, let's get to you, Warren, about more specifically about COVID and events.
Thanks, Jim. And I think probably to start off with, there's not a lot to say regarding COVID across Canada, because I think it's pretty much the same everywhere. And curling, for the most part, is pretty much shut down. In some areas and some clubs, practicing may still be taking place, but I do not believe, unless it's in isolated areas, that any form of organized play is happening in any clubs anywhere. But I won't say never. There may be some somewhere. I think on the other side of the coin, we've talked a bit in the last few weeks about the bubble arrangement being planned for Calgary, for specifically the Brier and Scotties and some of the Slam events. And the interesting announcements today, or last couple of days, out of Ontario, in the fact that some time ago, both the Northern Ontario Association and Ontario Association announced that they weren't going to hold playdowns, and that they were going to send their champions from last year. So in the case of Ontario, in the women's side would be Holman, and in the men's side would be Epping. In Northern Ontario would have been Krista McCarville and Jacobs. However, yesterday, Krista McCarville announced that their team would not be going to the bubble arrangement in Calgary. And kind of interesting, that's a pretty good team. They don't go on the tour. They are all have families, they have jobs, and they simply have decided they don't have the time, but they still do pretty well. They're always close. I think they rank about number 17 in the Canadian team ranking system. So they're a good team. So they announced they weren't going. And I guess at that point, everybody's saying, okay, now what? What's next? And then this morning they announced that the team that they defeated last year in the Northern Ontario Championship, Krista Burns, is going to be replacing them. A young team, probably a good team, but when I'm checking on the Canadian team ranking listings this morning, I find out that they're way, way back there. They're probably around about 120, which bears the point again, with probably 100 teams across the country in front of you, is it really fair that you get to play in a national championship just because of where you live? So the big question again, Kevin, I think you've been talking to Rick Lang and he's got some comments. Maybe you want to add to that.
Yeah, I had a really, you know, well, Rick's a great guy and he was on our show. I think he was on show number 32, you guys. So that was a few weeks ago. We had Rick Lang on. I talked to him this morning though about this and you know, it was a really hard thing for Krista to do and the team to not go to the Scotties. That's their big thing because they don't play in slams. They aren't able to play all over the world. So it means so much for them to get into the Scotties. But Krista is a teacher, and in order to play in the Scotties, would have had to leave on the Wednesday, start on the Saturday, fly home on the Monday, almost 2 weeks later, and then automatic 14-day quarantine. So you're looking at almost a complete month. And on their team, Ashley is a healthcare worker. Sarah with the twins now, they're preemies. They're almost a year old now, but same thing, wanting to be very, very careful. So, you know, three of the teammates, that would have been a very difficult situation for them to not to come to play the Scotties, but the 14 days as well afterwards. And it just added up to be too much. And so, you know what? I think it makes sense. I questioned it at the start when I read it just over media. But once I talked to Rick and you hear all the real reasons why the team just couldn't do it, it kind of makes sense all of a sudden. Now, going to your point, though, Warren, about bringing on a team that ranks somewhere around 120th in Canada, not in the world, in Canada. Boy, you're right. That is a lot of really good teams from number one to 120 that aren't going to have a chance. And it does mean a lot to a young team. And Tyler will be able to get into this, have an opportunity to go to a big stage like that. You benefit so much. And at 120th, should it be your time or should you have to wait a little longer? Interesting.
The other interesting thing is, so still a number of these provinces are listing that they're going to have provincial championships, which I can't really see it happening. So what's going to happen here now across the board? Are they all going to send in the champions from last year? And the one that won last year says, no, I can't go. And then the one the second one down says, I don't think I want to go. And now you're down into three and four, possibly into the pool. And again, how many times is this going to happen? And how many times is maybe a province or a territory just going to say, we're not sending anybody? And how that's all going to shake down in the end? I still believe the only way that this could have really be done in a manner because of what we're facing here that makes sense is to look to the top 10 teams. And if 10 can't go, go to 11. And maybe you draw a line where say, once we hit 16, 17, this isn't going to make any sense anymore. And just say, we can't do it. But I think the way we're going about it here at the moment, with particularly where the COVID thing seems to be heading, I hope it can all work out properly. Trust me, I hope it does, but I don't know.
How about this? It's not going to work. Okay. It ain't going to work. Lock the thing down. Quit being selfish, thinking you're going to be able to put something together when we're still into this very serious pandemic. Can't do it. Can't. That's my opinion. Anyway, knock it off with trying to put something together that is up against very, very, very serious times, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the opinion today with a lot of things, including the junior championship taking place in Edmonton, along with the NHL coming back. I think with curling, I think I would have started all this a little later, and maybe they still will have an opportunity to do that if things just don't work out as planned over the next month or two. Maybe push it ahead to, you know, an April, May, June scenario, which I see nothing wrong with. And possibly that is what they will do. But I think right now where things are heading, I think to do something in February is looking pretty challenging at the moment. But we'll see what happens.
I know the NHL is trying to do it, right? To try this startup date, January 13th. And then your province, Warren, said, okay, that's fine, but no teams are allowed to come in here. They're doing this Canadian division, right? They say no one's allowed. Premier Ford says, no, we're going into full lockdown. Alberta here, the hospitals are jammed. So I think they're trying to pull something off like curling that just ain't going to work. So we'll see. Anyway, before we get into more stuff, you can email us at insidecurling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at Curling Inside, Facebook, Inside Curling, and Instagram, Inside Curling Podcast. We love to hear from you guys. Send us your emails. We do look at them. We say we. Kevin and I don't. Warren does. But we do look at them, and we get a lot of content from you people that we use in the show. Also, you guys, we're inviting people to set up a Zoom meeting with you guys and our show, if you'd like. We've done a couple of them now. If you want to do that, get a hold of us, email us, and if you want your club to come on and ask Kevin and Warren a bunch of questions, we'd love to do it, and it works. We've done it. You guys did one Saturday with a club in Belgium, Warren?
It was Belgium, and it was a great call. It went on for almost, actually, Kevin even had to leave. It was almost 2 hours when we completed it, but just a lot of great questions and it was very interesting for, I think, us to learn what's happening with curling over there and some of the challenges they have and where things could be going for them. So we can invite anyone who wants to set up a call with us, get in touch.
What's the biggest difference, Warren, between a curling club over in Belgium compared to the normal curling club over here with 4 or 5 sheets of ice and lots of spiels and lots of action? Is it the same over there?
Well, it's a little different. The group we talked to are from Zemps, the Zemps Curling Club, and it's relatively new, a 3-sheet facility. The pictures we saw, a great, great facility, I think pretty active. And you know, in a lot of ways, it's got a lot of similarities to what we do in North America. I think curling, of course, is not very well known with most of these smaller countries in Europe. So they've got the challenge of getting a membership up and particularly getting newer people in. And that's some of the things we talked about. But to a very large degree, it's becoming more like it is over here all the time.
Well, yeah, you know, I really enjoyed that visit, and it was really eye-opening to me. The way, I guess, the club and the association in Belgium looks at the game, it's a little bit different, and they are definitely worried about bringing in the young players in a big way, and I think that's wonderful. And going back a couple days earlier, we actually did a Zoom call as well with a group of curlers, high school curlers out of Wisconsin. So yeah, this is so much fun. These Zoom calls with clubs and groups around the world that I just hope people take advantage of it, because one thing that really interested me, I don't have a lot of knowledge in the governance of an association, and that's one thing that they talked to Warren at length about in Zemst, and I just listened there intently. I learned a lot, and no different, I think, with they wanted to get into rocks and ice making and technical teaching and all of that. And so between Warren and I, we had a lot of information in a whole bunch of different ways. And that was really fun.
Cool. We've got a new sponsor, boys, and we're very excited about it. Great news. This new advertiser for sure is an interesting one. The company is called Manscaped. So for those of you who are fans of the television show Shark Tank, maybe you saw them on there. Two of the sharks bought 25% of the company when Manscaped showed up there. Without question, they are the world's best men's below-the-waist grooming company. And who doesn't need that? Manscaped, just recently launched in Canada. So if you're a listener in Canada, this could be your opportunity to experience Manscaped's life-changing product. Go to Manscaped website at manscaped.com. That is manscaped.com. And if you use the code InsideCurling, you will receive an amazing 20% off and free shipping for the month of December. What a perfect Christmas gift during this challenging year. Again, go to manscaped.com and use the code InsideCurling to get some deals. I received my package, Kevin. Thank you very much with all the best below the waist grooming.
And how'd it work stuff for you, Jimmy?
And well, it's good. I had to change the blades every 10 minutes. Okay, it's thick. My kid walked in the door. I had it on my stairs, and my young son, 18, saw the package on there, and that, Dad, you're involved in Manscaped? I said, I am. Yeah. So all the young kids know all about it. But anyway, again, go to their website, manscaped.com, and use the code InsideCurling. So thanks very much to those guys. Kevin, you've got some spiel updates.
I do. And remember last show, I'd mentioned the British mixed doubles was on, and it was right in the middle. And there were some teams that were kind of leading the pack and so on. And in the final, of course, all names that we know, Jennifer Dodds and Bruce Mowat played against Vicky Wright and Grant Hardy. And it was Jennifer Dodds and Bruce Mowat winning 8-5 in that final. But that was an event full of all the big names over there. And the Russian women's final. Remember, we updated you during the round robin that Alina Kovaleva and Anna Sidorova had kind of were leading the field. Kovaleva at the time was undefeated, and Sidorova had lost one game. But I mentioned that they were going to play each other in the last round robin game. And if Anna Sidorova could possibly win that game, she would win the round robin, have hammer in the 1-2 game. She did. She won the final round robin game, scored the first point in the 1-2 game, but a big steal of three in the sixth actually helped Kovaleva win, get the bye to the final. Anna won the semi, ended up going into the final, and it was a big steal in the fourth that led Alina Kovaleva to the victory. Kovaleva's tough. They really, really are good. So Sidorova has won a lot of stuff over around the world, but Kovaleva is somebody to really watch in this sport. And that is the update, Jimmy.
Thank you, Kevin. We've been doing poll questions the last few shows, and this one got no less action than any other one. Warren, the poll question on Twitter and our Facebook, is there a need for a competition division for ages 22 to 26 to be developed? And you've got the results, Warren.
Yes, I do. And again, it was very interesting that probably between 80 and 90% of the respondents, both on Twitter and Facebook, suggest an event needs to be developed for the age group 22 to 26. In Canada recently, I think this was made even worse when in fact the junior age was pretty much stopped at 20 because the Canadian Junior Championship has been changed to now sending the winner to the Worlds a year later, which that's probably a topic for another day, but certainly for young guys like Tyler, who we're going to talk to in a moment, this has further hindered them. So the curling public out there feels that there's something that needs to be done for this group, and I guess going forward, we'll see what happens. While we're on the topic of polls and change, we have had lots of chatter on Facebook and Twitter and emails over the past few weeks regarding the championship format structure in Canada. I think it's obvious that, again, a large majority suggests there's a need for change. What that change should look like, however, is kind of all over the map. But certainly our indication is the majority feel it's broken. There is a very local group, however, on Facebook that suggests otherwise. But when I analyze the group, it's not large, and they, of course, are older. So for sure, there seems to also be an age divide. People generally over the age of 40 seem to want things to stay where they are. Well, my indications are that the majority under 40 want to see a change because the status quo isn't working the way it should be in their opinion. I also want to thank a few people that have sent some great ideas, complicated some of them and in depth, but we just haven't had time to discuss them all. So thanks for your ideas to Eugene Ritzik, Chris Post, Joel Kratz, Sebastian Robichaud, Rach Manavan, and Mark Michael. We also know by our emails and what people are saying to us, we need to have more females on the show. And for sure, in 2021, that's going to happen. I think the topics we've been on the last few weeks, we just had a lot of male involvement, which is why we've been kind of stuck in that rut at the moment. But we're going to be moving forward into new ideas, new topics in 2021.
Right on. That's because males weren't are all loudmouths, right? They can't pipe down.
Opinionated.
Yeah. Opinionated. The other way of saying loudmouths. Yeah. Great stuff. So the rest of the show now, we thought we better get a young guy on because there's lots of discussion about getting the youth involved in all sports. As a matter of fact, if you don't, you're going to go nowhere. And our guest right now is Tyler Powell. How are you, Tyler? Come on on.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. Excited to talk about this stuff.
Well, it's good. It's good to have you on. When you look around the screen here, we do this by Zoom. We only use the audio, but have you been with this many old guys in a while to talk about curling?
No, I haven't.
See, he's honest too.
Yeah.
You're an interesting guy, Tyler. I was reading all your accomplishments outside of curling. You're a volleyball guy, badminton guy, a high-level competitive golf guy. You played in the BC Summer Games, BC Juniors, BC Juvenile Championships in golf, U17 Club Volleyball Nationals, as well as the Provincials. And you grew up in Invermere, BC. How did you... You're like a decathlete, man. You're good at everything. How did you tell us your road to curling then? How did that all come about?
Yeah, I got into curling when I was about 9 years old. It was actually my brother was in the junior the local junior program. And I kind of sat on the sidelines watching him for a number of years. And I kind of thought it was boring for the longest of times. But, I ended up getting out onto the ice. And once I got out of the ice, I started to really love it. And Invermere actually has an Olympic bronze medalist. She played with Shannon Clybrink in the 2006 Olympics, Christine Keshin. I don't know if you know her. She was the lead for Team yep. Clybrink. So yeah, she's kind of been somewhat of a role model for me. And yeah.
One of the things that we want to find out from you is because we have our opinions, certainly Kevin and Warren do, about what should happen with the game. Like we'd mentioned several times, you know, about it's got to change. We got to get more young people involved. We think young people don't like the game and that curling is going to have a difficult time getting them involved. So we wanted to bring you on because you are certainly passionate about it. And you're one of the guys, young guys, who is stepping forward and wants to be heard. I saw a long stream of emails that you were back and forth with a week ago. I went, this dude is into it, Kev. This guy is into it. Does curling still have an image problem? Is the social media stuff being done well in curling? Are young people attending the events still in arenas? And does the game need changes to attract the Gen Z, which is after mid-90s kids? What role should the games play in doubles and triples? So we want to talk about all that, and we're going to kick things off with an email. And I think you probably know this guy, Tyler Tardy. Do you know him, Tyler? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a bunch of Tylers here around. Tyler Tardy is one of the best young curlers in the world. He won the World Juniors in 2018 and again in 2019, curling out of BC. He had another year of junior eligibility in 2020, but decided to take the leap into men's curling. But of course, COVID sort of shut all that down. Here's an interesting note we received from Tyler. Hi, guys. First of all, big fan of the podcast and hope you guys are all staying well and safe. I always have believed if there needs to be any big changes in the sport, we need to look at the point system and slam qualification. I found coming out of juniors, figuring out how the points works was a pretty steep learning curve, which made the route to the goal of making some slams pretty unclear at first. I think a change here would be very helpful in keeping young athletes in the sport as it would create a much more clear vision to their journey into the elite ranks. I also believe the slam qualification needs to be adjusted. For example, you look at a great young men's team like Ross White from Scotland. This team was tied for fifth for most wins in the world last season, the third highest win percentage out of any team, qualified in 11 out of 12 events, and they never competed in a single slam, not even the tier two. I'm by no means saying slams should be easy to qualify for, as they should be the hardest events in the world to play in as well as win. But I think some adjustments in that area would be key to success in the sport. So what do you say first, Warren, about that? And then, Tyler, we want you to weigh in on that.
Well, I think the whole issue of ranking system at the world level, Canadian level, that whole thing's in a little bit of a disarray. I think it needs to be revamped. It needs to be done as a joint venture between the World Curling Federation, Curling Canada, probably the Grand Slam, maybe even the USCA needs to be involved in this, and the system needs to be revised to start with. And I think Kevin will quote on this because he's the guy who is tight with the Slam operation, but I suspect that there must be a game plan in place as to going forward, how the people are going to be invited to the particular tier two aspect and how they work their way up into tier one. But Kevin, can you expand on those items?
Yeah, you know what? I think a point system, curling, no different than any sport, the point system has to continue to evolve. So I think that the point system started, I believe the first one is when we ran the West Edmonton Mallspiel in 1995, and it was very simple, mostly based on money. And I remember Ian Tetley calling me in early 96 saying, Kevin, we got to change this point system. Well, it was just, we just kind of started it. So yeah, no problem, Ian. How do you want to change it? So we made a few little changes and then it went in and just kept changing and changing and changing. And is it better today than it was in say 15 years ago? Sure. Can it get better to Tyler Tardy's point? Absolutely. It has to keep evolving. And I'm all for it. And we have some really smart young people like Tyler Powell, for example. We've got some really Kirk Myers, Brendan Botcher, Brad Thiessen. These guys are highly intelligent individuals on the men's side. And of course, we've got that on the women's side as well to be able to expand on the evolution of the point system. And I'd like to hear Tyler's thoughts because it kind of impacts him more than anybody with coming out of juniors and trying to get into the various events around the globe and be able to qualify them. Tyler.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think there needs to be more transparency and education around how it works too. Like, I remember on one of your previous shows, Brendan Botcher mentioned it, like it's one of those, you know, the event's done and you look the next day to see who's higher in the rankings. I think I would love to see more transparency and education around how the point system actually works, because even, you know, Curling Alberta rankings, the CTRS, the World Curling Tour, I don't really know a whole lot of people that actually know how it works. A lot of people don't understand how it works, and I think that's a major stumbling block.
I think there's a whole issue here that I've made some comments about on Facebook regarding high performance tiering. And I think that's where it has to start. And to some degree, at the lower aspect of it, it's probably Canadian, but they probably the first 32 teams, at least it needs to be a world-created situation, which means who's going to be involved in determining all this? Curling Canada, World Curling Federation, probably Sportsnet because they own the Slam, and not to say the least, the players group. And I think there has to be a system worked out of, and my suggestion was we start out with three tiers, 16 teams in Tier 1, 16 Tier 2, 16 Tier 3. And maybe from the Slam point of view is the 16 in Tier 1 and 16 Tier 2, that becomes the first focus of teams going into the Slam first and second tier events. Maybe third tier becomes, in one case, it's a Canadian jurisdiction. Maybe there needs to be a third tier that's a world jurisdiction. I don't know, but I think that the problem is right now is we've got to come up with some way of classifying people. And so people have some place where they can start. They can start at Tier 3. And if they work up, they then go to Tier 2. And I think that's what we're lacking right now, particularly with these young guys. They're coming into this big, vast world around 20 years of age, and it's not very clearly defined, and nobody knows where they're going, what they're doing, and they kind of flail from here, flail to there, and hope that they can get some traction somewhere to get somebody to notice them, that they begin to move up the scale. So that's kind of how I see something needs to be happen. I mean, Kevin, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, we need to pay attention to people like Tyler Tardy. And I think our Tyler on the show today actually played against Tyler out of BC for a long time and understands. And Matt Dunstone was referring to Tyler Tardy as today's Connor McDavid. So this is somebody we should, in curling, we should listen to these guys. These are our future champions. They're definitely, you know, the people that we're going to get to watch on TV, win all kinds of things from Worlds to Olympics. And so on. So I really think we need to involve these minds in the progression and the evolution of our sport. And I think it's really important that we do that. And I agree that when it comes to this point system, it has to be through Curling Canada and the Worlds, the Grand Slam, and especially the young players. We need to listen more to the young people because that's who really matters in this whole thing. Tyler, go ahead.
Yeah. So the other thing I'd like to add to that too is I've seen some comments of people saying that the Slams are a closed shop essentially, but I think that if you were to tier, you know, the levels, you know, all of a sudden, if you're a team that's dominating the second tier, you know, you'll be able to accumulate a lot more points than the team that's not doing as well in the first tier, right? And you'll be able to move up to the next tier, and so be it. So I love the tiering system personally, because I feel like it rewards, you know, teams in the, you know, third and second tiers that are playing well, they'll be able to move up and progress.
Tyler, you say though, to get young people involved, that we don't stand a very good chance right now because curling has a big image problem.
Yeah, it totally does. Like, you know, when I was in high school and even elementary school, like I didn't even really want to tell a whole lot of people that I played because, you know, they'd give you a hard time. And especially like I played on other sports teams, right? And sometimes the seasons would conflict. And, you know, a lot of my friends would give me a hard time. Oh, like you're missing a tournament here to go curl and all this. And, you know, it bugged me a little bit when I was younger, but now it doesn't really bug me a whole lot anymore. But, you know, I've actually talked to a lot of people about this. Like Matt Dunstone gave me a call a few days ago, and I've talked to a lot of my friends about this as well. And they definitely say the same thing, like, especially, I think it's just in Canada mainly, but there's a huge image issue of curling for sure.
So how do you improve that, Tyler? Where you've made some suggestions, where are you going to start? What would you do first to improve that image?
Yeah, there's kind of two main things I think could really help. I think like you need to be marketing the top players in your sport. And, you know, this comes down to the Breyer and Scotties. Like you have some really old teams and really old players, you know, no disrespect to them, but they're not the best players in our sport. And, you know, they're getting prime TV time, right? And I think when people turn on the TV to watch curling and they see that, I think that's a little bit harming to the image. And I could go on after about instruction and all that, but that's what I'll say about the image.
So further to that, you think like, you know, most times sports are promoted through mainstream media, you know, TV, print. You know, there used to be these things, Tyler, you're too young to know, but they were called newspapers, and they were all and that's how everything was promoted. But now it's social media. And you're suggesting that Curling Canada or all the governing bodies, all the people who are promoting, all the people who are supposed to market curling are missing the boat when it comes to social media.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm a big fan of the NBA, and I look at what they do to, you know, showcase their sport. Like if you go onto their Instagram or their TikTok, they're showing little 10-second clips of, you know, of the highlights from each individual game. And I actually see on the Grand Slams Instagram that they've done a decent job of that. But I think, you know, everyone has a phone. So you should be utilizing what's in everyone's hands to show them the sports, right?
Hey, Tyler, I just wanted to ask you one thing when it comes to promoting, because I am not as sharp like you when it comes to social media. Would it be advantageous to, I'm just going to go back in time a little bit to when I was a kid, and I brought it up to then the CCA that I was concerned, a lot like you, when I was young, about the promotion of our athletes. And being able to maybe make sure that we showed that the certain athletes, like be it John Morris at the time when he was young, he was a baseball guy, Mark Kennedy, football, you come out of golf and volleyball, and all these various athletes that were so good at other sports. It doesn't matter which ones. I kind of think that's really important for schools to understand that, because back when I was a kid, most of the jocks in Alberta played hockey, not curling. And that's something that bothered me a lot, because I'm thinking, gee, you know, curling is such a hard game. If people gave it a go, they go, wow, this is tough. And I just thought, social media wise, you're talking about TikTok and the 10-second clip. It would sure be good to show all the various athletes from across Canada, both female and male, and what they do outside of curling. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that'd be great because, you know, I know Curling Canada at the beginning of the pandemic, they showcased the athletes, you know, each of them would do a daily Instagram takeover, and you'd really be able to, you know, get to know them on a more personal level. And I think that's what's really, really cool about curling as well, is there's so many, you know, personalities, and that the fans almost feel like they know the players personally. And I think if we could showcase that, that'd be great.
This again is a problem that goes back. This is deep. And let me tell you, this has been a concern of some of us for many years. And many ask the question of, why is there a Team Canada? And one of the main reasons the Team Canada concept was developed initially with the women and finally with the men was the fact that it was very difficult to promote a specific athlete or team for the Brier or the Scotties, because you never knew until 2 or 3 weeks before who they were going to be. And with a Team Canada, you at least had one team of four athletes that you could promote and pump for the year. But in that current system, with never knowing who could coming under a province, you may see a great team and maybe not see them again for 2-3 years at that Canadian championship level, which again, I think is why, again, let's not get into the system needs to change, but I think a very close relationship between the Grand Slam and Curling Canada on, again, dealing with the athletes and how they're promoted and sold, I think is something that's really required. And I think your points on that aspect are great, that we need to be promoting and selling the good images of the sport, which we currently aren't.
If you had, Tyler, if there were 10 guys standing in front of you and they're all under 25 or under 23, and you were going to pitch them on the game of curling, what would be the percentage of guys who want to take up curling right now, or the percentage of, or, you know, compared against the guys who go, nah, pass, man, I'm not into curling?
You know what? I think a lot of them would be interested to try it. Like, I know I've taken some of my friends down to go try it, and they end up loving it. Or, well, they end up having a lot more respect for the sport than what they did before. Yeah, I was actually, I talked to Chad McMullen actually, and he brought up a good point. He said that it's hard to get people in the age range of like 20 to 30 to actually, you know, play any sports even, because, you know, you're so busy with like school, life, like all that.
Video games.
yeah, video games. But if we could, yeah, like if you could, I think the key thing is to get them hooked when they're, you know, get the kids hooked when they're young and still in high school and all that, and then hope, and then try and get them back when they're 30 years old. I mean, you still want to have players that are 24, 25, but they're just naturally going to be more few and far between, I think.
You are, you can take us even further back for the really young kids. You're popping into schools and talking to young kids about curling. Give us a sense of their excitement level for it when you do that. First of all, what do you do when you go in there?
Yeah, so I teach rocks and rings in the schools, and the kids absolutely love it. Like, it's, a lot of them have come up to me afterwards and they've said, oh, how do I get into curling? How do I get into curling? And a lot of them, it's, you know, it's what they talk to their teacher about. It's like they look forward to it every day, because we normally go into the schools for 4 days at a time, and they look forward to it. And the kids, you know, I let them play for probably 2/3 of the class, and I teach for about 1/3 of the class, and they end up, I teach them pretty basic concepts, and they end up remembering everything, which I think is key. But the thing that's so awesome about it is the kids are just electric about the game. Like, they're able to make shots, they're jumping around, they're having a good time. Like, it's just, the kids absolutely love it. Like, the Rocks and Rings program, like, I think it's the best program that you could have in any sport, even, to introduce kids to the game.
Is there enough of it going on, or are you the only guy doing it? How much of it is out there?
No, there's quite a few instructors. Like, I know I live in Calgary here. There's me and another person that instruct here in Calgary. We haven't had as much this year just because of COVID and all that. But There's instructors all around the country.
And what about outside of that then? I've always said, I got to take up curling. You know, now I'm doing this show. I know more about curling for a guy who's never thrown a rock. What are you laughing at, Warren? I can see you laughing, okay?
That's funny.
Yeah. But, and since COVID hit, I haven't followed that up. But if I did, the sense I'm getting is there wouldn't be much available to me for instruction as a guy who wants to take it up recreationally. And then in turn, you'd be able to sort of talk about it. Do I have the right sense of that, or am I wrong there?
No, yeah, you're totally right. I think we need high energy, people teaching the sport. And the other thing I've really thought about is I think we need every sheet of ice in every curling club needs to have the houses halfway down the ice. Like currently most curling clubs just have it on the outside sheets, but we need to have it in the middle on every sheet, because in my opinion, if it's just like golf, right? Like what keeps you coming back to golf is being able to make a shot, like your first, being able to hit a perfect shot your first time golfing. And I think, you know, in curling, if all the kids are pretty much able to get it halfway down the ice with either a regular rock or a junior rock. Like if they're able to, you know, hit their friend's rock out of the rings or, draw to the button or whatever their first time playing, you know, I think that's really going to keep their excitement going. And even adults too, like if you can achieve something on your first day of curling, I think it's going to keep a lot more people coming back.
So we get all this. Okay. We're understanding where you're coming from, and boy, you sound like the perfect guy to promote it. And you're doing the work. You're not just talking the talk, you're walking the walk. Do you think the game itself, Tyler, needs changes?
Yeah. One change I would really like to see is obviously eight ends, like that has to happen. And I also think that I would like some kind of center line, if it's biting the center line guard, I would like that to kind of be protected, because I think it would make the game more interesting right from the first rock of the end to the last rock of the end. And I think, you know, like mixed doubles, I played a lot of it, like the first rock of the end is almost the most important. Like if you don't put it in the right spot, you're chasing the rest of the end. And I think if you were to force the lead to put it right on the center line and the other team couldn't do anything to tick it off or anything like that, I think it would generate a lot of offense and make the game really, really interesting.
Kev, you're more than twice as old as this kid we're talking to right now. Do you like what he's saying?
Yeah, isn't it something? He's twice as smart as me, yes? That's the way it goes, I guess. That's the way it goes. Hey, Tyler, I coming into this, I was talking to Carrick last night, and one thing that I mentioned that I really wanted to hear from the inside of your eyes is your impression when you walk, and this is for Breyer, Scotties, Grand Slam, any event. I want to hear your thoughts on the arena setting. What you'd like to see, a 19-year-old, not, I'm 54. My idea of what interests me inside an arena is probably different than what interests you. I'd like to hear from your point of view, when you walk into a Breyer semifinal, what would you like it to be like?
Yeah, I would love to have it like an NHL game or something like that. I think that'd be really huge because the way I look at it right now is curling etiquette in arenas, it only helps people that are already curlers. Like it's not super inviting to the uneducated fan because you can't behave the same way you can at like a hockey game or baseball game or something like that. I would love to see it, I would love to see hear cheering, booing. You know, obviously there's limits. Like you can't, like in a hockey game, you can't have laser pointers or you can't be throwing stuff onto the ice.
Good idea though. Yeah.
But I would, and I talked to Matt about this as well. And he was saying if he was playing Gushu and somebody was trying to distract him by yelling while he's throwing or something like that to miss a shot, that guy would go to his friends and say, I made Matt Dunstone. He would think that he had a part in Matt Dunstone losing the game. And I think that would be, I think that'd be cool. I would love to have an environment like a hockey game, because if I want to bring my friends that don't curl, which is a lot of my friends, to like the Briar or Scotties, I have to give them a crash course. Okay, you can't do this, can't do this, can't do this, can't do this. And I don't see that as evolving the game.
I think it's a matter of what players get used to, they can deal with. And I think, again, it's like in basketball. If the top players became accustomed because they're facing it every day, it's like the football teams that pipe the crowd noise into their practices so the quarterback gets used to calling the signals over the big noise. And I can relate to personal experience, because where curling was now in my time, it was more so sanitized than it is now. And we get thrown into world championship in Switzerland in the days when curling was new there. But we were playing against a very young team, Peter Attinger, in the round robin. And all of a sudden in this stadium, 13,000 people show up who didn't know curling from bowling. And the interesting thing about it, that's that half of them had cowbells. And I think I heard cowbells after that world championship for 2 years, because every time we missed a shot, not only did we get a standard ovation from the 13,000 people, we got the 13,000 cowbells ringing. And it was such a shock to us, because it was something we were completely foreign to, that it was really upsetting. But if that was something that you became accustomed to every day, you would learn to deal with it. And I go back to, there was again 13,000 people who knew nothing but curling, and they were having a great time, because in Switzerland then you could have alcohol served in the stands and it was a party. And I think that's what we got to create. And Kevin went through that at the Olympics in 2010, when all of a sudden the curling venue became that party site. Jim, you were there too. Mm-hmm. And how different it was than anything else has ever had happened before in curling. But I think it's the kind of atmosphere, again, we're at the point we need to try to create.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted, like, I'm not 100% sure on where the rules lie on this, but if somebody, like, if it's a really important shot and you can't hear a pin drop, and then all of a sudden somebody yells something out or does something, does something silly that would normally be drowned out by a lot of noise, I don't think, and you guys could correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there's anything in the way of recourse in regards to, like, I don't think they can rethrow that shot or anything like that. So I think we need to have constant noise, because if something like that happens, like if somebody's throwing a draw to win the Briar or something like that, there's nothing in the way of recourse.
Kevin, if you were curling and some guy started heckling you when you go to throw a stone, Kev, you would stop and go right into the stands. can we have this, Kev? Can you have people kind of heckling or ringing bells while a guy's throwing a rock?
I think, Warren and Tyler are both right. I think if you get used to it, Vancouver was so crazy loud. I had to take I had to take Advil after every game because my head was pounding because the noise was so extreme. But by halfway through the week, it was the same loud, but you couldn't notice it anymore. You just kind of got used to it. And I think that's really important to, but to Tyler's point, if it's a sudden noise, that's a real problem. Yes. And have I had that happen? Absolutely. Lots over the years. And that's, mm-hmm. but if you have big noise all the time, yeah, you would never even hear. Nobody could heckle you. Couldn't hear them.
Right.
It just gets right. Drowned out with all the other noise. Tyler, one other thing. I really, Matt Dunstone, when he was on last week, he talked about an in arena app for any event. One thing he brought up, this is afterwards, we talked for a very long time after the show was completely done last week, and he's got great ideas. One thing that I really enjoyed, and I'm not sure if you do at your age, and I'd like to find that out, and that's part of the app being a betting. Now, it could be money, or it could be betting Pinty's pub tokens. At the end of the rink at the Grand Slams, we have a bar that holds about 250 people called the Pinty's Pub. And of course you can have cocktails or of course Pinty's wings in the pub, and you have tokens. And Matt just thought it would be so much fun to bet on either the games or on shots or on if the team on the ice, if Jennifer Jones is going to get a two or if Anna Hasselborg is going to steal one, all these types of things. You could have a fun betting game. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. I think anything at this point to get people into the arena is great. Like, I go to a lot of Calgary Flames games, and they have an app called Saddledome Live, and it's you know, you play, they put trivia up on the Jumbotron, and, you know, you can play like this virtual hockey game on it. So like if curling had something similar, you just involve the fans that much more, right? And that's great.
You know, Warren, one of the great, when I went to all those Briars over the years, and I was, you know, I was locked into the patch, Kev, hard to believe. and they were great years. They were huge crowds, and they don't quite have that anymore. And that's sort of the basis of this podcast as much as anything. But I used to go over to the arena, Warren, because people would come flying into the patch and they go, you got to get over there, man. And you got to see this character in the crowd. There's a group of guys, I think they're from Calgary, Warren, who became famous, 9 or 10 of their friends, and they dress up every single day in different outfits. And they became a huge feature, even on television. Guys running around with flags, the Northern Ontario Moose Call. Remember that, Kev? They'd yep. have that annoying string coming through a can. But I've never seen anything more fun than the crowds in curling. And I think that was a big attraction. The other difficulty, you guys, is I found, is going over to the arena and there's 5 games going on at the same time. And if not for a Jumbotron where I can watch that feature game, it really is. How can you possibly get in? It's like 5 different hockey games, Kevin, going on at the same time. It's sort of the beast that it is, right? You guys, you gotta, otherwise you'd have a 35-day Briar or something. But I see that as a problem.
Well, it is what it is. But I think the other thing that could be done is I've suggested 10 years ago, why don't we RF mic the players in every sheet of ice? So when the fan comes in, they've got their app and they can listen to sheet A if that has their interest for a while. So they'll learn to know what's going on there. And they may go over to sheet C and they don't have to just concentrate on the feature game. I think also at the same time that there's somebody in the arena that they could interact with and ask questions about just about anything they want on any sheet of ice, I think would also help to engage them. And it's rather interesting. I was behind a major drive back in 1993. Remember that a long time ago, Kevin?
I do.
And that was to send the Briar to 4 sheets of ice rather than 5. And the reason for that was that when it comes to watching multiple games, it's a proven factor. 4 games versus 5 is quite a difference as far as what you're able to comprehend and what you're able to take in. And so I think with the fact, in particular the Slam, with 5 games going on, again, maybe you need to reach into the bag and come up with other ideas on how fans can get engaged on particular sheets of ice. And again, I think the app, again, allows you to do all those things.
We want to thank our new sponsor, Manscaped. They bring you the best below-the-belt grooming tools for men in history. And they got invested on with guys from Shark Tank, the two of them invested in this company. For more information, go to manscaped.com, place an order, and use the code INSIDECURLING, and you're going to get 20% off. That's manscaped.com. Thanks a lot to those guys. Kevin? Warren, we got to give Tyler the final word on this. What we're going to do, Tyler, is we're going to allow you to have a half an hour with Curling Canada. Okay. And you're going to go in there. Everyone agrees with you. Okay. At least this show does. And you're going to have 3 things, Tyler, 3 things that you're going to put your foot down and say, if you guys don't do this, the game's going to be harmed. What would you say?
Yeah, so I'd say number one is I'd like to see, an actual stream to get, new curlers and young curlers into the game, because right now there's not really a program or anything like that designed to do it. And I think, you know, part of one thing that would help, in my opinion, is like what I said earlier with the having houses in the middle of the sheets, having, higher energy instructors, let the instructors, it'd be great if the instructors could get paid, because then you'd, there'd be a little bit of an incentive there, and just have the kids out there and having fun is kind of the key. Number two, I would say definitely the Briar and Scotties. I know that's a controversial topic right now, but I think it has to change if we want to evolve our sport into a professional sport or anything like that. Like, you just like I the average age of the 2020 Briar, the competitors, was 36. And the average age of the people playing in the or the top 16 teams on the CTRS is 31. So I think if we could start to make our sport younger from a, you know, from a professional side and what you're seeing on TV, I think that'd be really huge. And number three is I'd like to see mixed doubles. I'd like to see an under 20 mixed doubles national championship. I think that's huge, because I think doubles is the future of the sport. Like, I know I love it personally. And it's no secret that people my age, our attention spans aren't what your guys' are or anything. Like, it's no secret, right? And I think doubles, where you're constantly active and, you know, it's fun to watch on TV, I think that just has so many positives to people my age.
Why do you say that about mixed doubles? That you think it'll be more popular than any other?
Yeah, I think just because of you can play a game in an hour and a half. There's always rocks being moved around. It's super fun for people to watch on TV. There's just so many. It's a more athletic sport than the four-person game. It's just, there's so many positives to it.
Right on. Okay. Boys, another good show. Tyler, we really appreciate this. Like all our guests who come on here, they open up, they give us their opinions, and I always fear for them. They're gonna get a call from one of the governing bodies going, okay, you got to come and help us. that you may have talked your way into in a very active role in the sport of curling. We want to thanks a lot, Tyler, for doing this. We really appreciate it. And it's been long overdue that we had a young guy on who is way smarter than me, way smarter than Kevin, and way smarter than Warren. And don't worry about your attention span, Tyler. Kevin and Warren work with a guy who has zero attention span.
Okay? And who would that be?
who would that be? Boys, this is our, what are you doing for Christmas, Tyler? Now, what are you doing? First of all, are you working? You're going to school? What's happening with you?
Yeah, I'm a second year business student at University of Calgary, and I also teach rocks and rings there. So that's kind of what has me pretty busy lately. And I've also been trying to almost treat this kind of break we've had from being on the ice as a kind of like an off season. Like I've been working out lots. Like I've been running the stairs by the Calgary Curling Club, you know, almost trying to do it 3-4 times a week kind of thing, and just trying to keep in shape and all that. So when we get back to curling, I'll be ready. So
good for you. Boys, this is our Christmas show. Christmas is going to be later on this week. When you're listening to this podcast, it comes out on Thursday. So Christmas is this Friday. Is that right, you guys?
It's Friday.
Yeah. Boys, what are you doing, Kevin? What are you doing for Christmas?
Not very much, Jimmy. We're not allowed to really do much. So, I don't know. Sean, I guess when you ask, that, it's, I enjoy being with Shauna.
I'm going to show up at your place with a bunch of rum and eggnog. Okay. I'll make your Christmas. Warren, you stay safe. We want to wish everyone, all the listeners and all the supporters and our advertisers, we want to wish them a very happy, Merry Christmas, as happy as you can possibly make it. These are very, very troubled times. You can hear our talks all the time in the podcast about COVID, and it's not fun, but we hope the podcast brings you a little bit of relief, from what are, you know, not normal times. And, maybe in the next 3 or 4 months, we're going to come at you each and every week with another show of Inside Curling. But I'm predicting in 3 or 4 months, Warren, that curling will be up and going, and all this will be behind us. The vaccine is on the way, so that's good news. And then we're going to get your predictions, I guess, you guys. Maybe we'll do a little, you're talking, Warren, maybe do a little post-Christmas or New Year's show, and you guys will give us your predictions for 2021. Does that sound like a good idea?
Yes, I guess we could do that. I think I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year as well. And all those people who have been listening to us, thank you. We're certainly planning to expand what we're doing in 2021. We're looking towards YouTube channels, websites, possibly blog with a website, maybe radio, and look forward to starting the Inside Curling Special Members Club.
Well, there we go.
So those things are happening with Inside Curling.
Can imagine, Kev, if the three of us, they could see us on YouTube, and then I'll go, oh my God, they're all models. Look at them.
But I think we're having a lot of fun, and I hope that we're doing something that's positive for the sport.
Right on. Kev, little Christmas wish for everyone?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Hopefully, I know some parts of the world you can see your family and some parts you can't, but for everybody, have a very Merry Christmas. And what I look forward to going forward, there's four people that I really want to have on going into next year. That is, there's a really, and that's after Tyler came on today, Corinne Brown out of BC. I really want to have her on. That's our, just a future all-star in our sport that I want to see come on. Got to get Anna Hasselborg on because you've got Corinne Brown at very young, getting going, 25 years old, I think. Got Anna Hasselborg, who isn't much older, who's won a lot. And I want to get Jennifer Jones on, and because that's three different almost generations. And I really want to hear their thoughts on our sport. And we need to hear from the World Curling Federation. We need to get somebody on in January, February at the latest, from the World Curling Federation. I'm also excited because next year is an Olympic qualifying year with the Olympic trials in December. So I want to talk to quite a few of the teams because obviously there's not going to be a lot of curling. There will be the bubble event probably. I talked to Christy from Sportsnet, and they're excited to explore the hosting of that event along with Curling Canada. She spoke very highly of Danny and Nolan, who we had on the show, very highly of all the work they've been doing to get that bubble event. But then, you know what? The bubble event's going to end and summertime's going to come, and next fall, how do the teams schedule their time? How do they manage their time? How do they control burnout? Because they're going to try to gain so much so quick. How are they going to control that? How are they going to peak at the trials? It's going to be so much fun going forward this year, going into the next Olympic Games.
Right on. Merry Christmas, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to another episode of Inside Curling, and we're back at it each and every week. We want to thank our sponsor. It's December, folks, and everyone's looking for that special gift for that special man in your life. Look no longer, as we have the answer. Our new associate sponsor, Manscaped, brings you the best ever in men's below-the-waist grooming. Shark Tank invested in this company, two of them, okay? Put up 25% of the dough. Every Canadian male now has the chance of experiencing Manscaped's life-changing product. Go to manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com. And if you use the code INSIDECURLING, you will receive an amazing 20% off and free shipping for the month of December. What a perfect Christmas gift during these challenging times. Again, manscaped.com and use the code INSIDECURLING. Merry Christmas, boys. And we're not on next week, though, okay? We're going to take a week off, and then we're back in the new year. Is that right, Warren? Don't yell at me. I always get the details mixed up.
Jim, you got it right.
Okay, good. Talk to you later, everybody.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.